This is a production of the ZTalk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Wow. It's dark. Well, let's have some light on the subject.
Put on your critical thinking caps and please refrain from hugging. It's time for Dimland Radio with your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons.
Hello and welcome to Dimland Radio here on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Remember, I'm not really a doctor. I just play doctor online. And this is an edit right now. I goofed up the beginning of the show last night. So I'm redoing this little opening part. I mentioned once again about the newspaper thing. It's still coming. I think the only way I'm going to be able to get it to stop is I have to go through the year with the guy delivering the paper. And when he gives us that Christmas card at the end of the year with a little hint in there about getting a tip, I'll send him a tip and then I'll tell him, hey, you've been giving me a free newspaper all year. Thanks so much. Please stop. Okay, now I have to get this set up to start with the rest of the show that I had recorded yesterday morning. And I got to move this to a certain time point, so bear with me. I know, I hate doing this. Okay, here we go. Now, this is me signing off and me kicking back on, so the edit is done.
It's an exciting thing. It's a rare thing. Kind of rare. It's rare, but then it's kind of not rare. I'll get to it. And I hear it can be life-changing. It's a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse. Being able to see that happen as the eclipse is taking place, you know, it's lunar eclipses happen fairly frequently. I've seen a few of them, total ones too, you know, where you just go out and the moon kind of doesn't quite disappear, but it turns into this sort of orangish red. It gets very dim, and it gets this orangish-red kind of look to it. And it's really cool to watch the shadow of the Earth come across the face of the moon and then have it move away. It's fun. It's fun to watch that happen. If you don't think that you're on a planet going through space, that's a moment in which you can have that feeling. It says, oh, okay, we're, you know, unless you're a flat earther. And believe me, they have come up with ways to explain why lunar eclipses happen and solar eclipses happen. But it's complicated, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing here. I'll try to remember to link to an article that explains how flat earthers hand wave away the eclipse things. While the Earth is a flat, it's just flat. Where is it? What is it? It's on the back of a turtle. Well, what's that turtle on? Well, it's on another turtle. It's turtles all the way down. That's the old story that we've heard. You know, and interestingly enough, flat earthers, at least from this explanation of what happens with an eclipse and all that, both the lunar and the solar eclipses, it seems the flat earthers think that the sun is round, is a sphere, and the moon is a sphere. They seem to think that they have no problem accepting that, but Earth is flat. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, they figure out a way that it works. But for people who aren't conspiratorial, it's a great moment to just get the idea that you are on a planet that's hurtling through space. And there are other, you know, celestial objects out there that are doing the same. And we interact with each other here and there. And So we're going to, in the United States, we are going to have a total solar eclipse along a certain band, of course, across the country. It's coming up on Monday, which would be April 8th. And the states that are going to be along that path of totality, as it's called, are Texas, Arizona, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, New York, and Maine. They all have that totality band, the real center totality band, go right through parts of their states. So if you happen to live under there, or if you're traveling to that area, that's, you know, you'll get to see the totality. Up here in Minnesota, we're going to get, like, I think I heard 60 to 80% of the eclipse. We're not going to get the full blocked out sun because it's just the angle of the earth, which, again, I don't know how the flat earthers explain that, but, you know, apparently they do. But because the earth curves and we're further away, we're going to be curved away, we're not going to get the same angle shot of the moon going between the earth and the sun. And I said that it's rare, but it's not. I mean, it happens like every 18 months or so, somewhere on Earth, there's a total eclipse happens every 18 months or so. The thing is, the surface of the Earth is about 70% water. It's oceans, and nobody's living there. So to have the path of totality go across, populated areas. It's pretty rare. You know, your specific areas, there's a certain rarity to it. But there are, I think there are such things as eclipse cruises, where you just, you know, you book a trip on a cruise ship, and that cruise ship takes you out to the area where the eclipse can be seen, and you can watch it, because it's, like I said, it's rare. Sort of, but it's rare, but it does happen like every 18 months or so somewhere on the planet Earth. You could, if you can get there, you could view a total solar eclipse. You'd be on the path of totality if you can get there. So, yeah, okay. Anyway, we had a total solar eclipse in the United States. About, I think it was 7 years ago, and I did have some friends that went to view it. I had one friend who got to an area where, you know, there was threat of clouds covering it up, but she said, you know, it had opened the area in the sky that you needed to be open to be able to see the totality of the eclipse stayed open for them. The clouds didn't close it in, so they got to see it. So that, and she was one that just said it was amazing and awe-inspiring and life-changing and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'd love to be able to do it, but, you know, I don't know. There's certain constraints. And there are going to be a lot of people heading to those areas. Now, one group of those people that are going to be heading to a certain area, they're going to be going to Texas. To view the totality, to be on the path of totality. And that is the folks from the fine podcast, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, which is a great podcast. You should be listening to it. It's good for learning about skepticism. And I get a lot of what I know listening to those guys. They teach me pretty well on how to be a good skeptic and all that. And along with other podcasts that I listen to as well. And stuff I read and just trying to be me. I try to be a good skeptic. And they're heading to Texas to see this. And they've got events planned where they're going to do, you know, they're going to record a podcast, maybe do a couple private shows and things like that. They've got things that they got planned. And the reason they went down to Texas, because 4/5 of the 5-person cast of that podcast live in... Is it 4/5? Steve, Bob, Jay, Evan. Yeah. They live in Connecticut, which is, they would be able to head to upstate New York from there to see to be at the totality path. They could, and it'd be a much quicker trip. But what they did, if I'm remembering correctly, what they did was they decided, we're going to, they looked at the map of where the path is going. They looked at weather patterns and, you know, which months are really cloudy or tend to be cloudy and which months don't tend to be cloudy, because we want to go to an area that isn't going to be, you know, the chances are going to be really good that there won't be clouds. And then they had a couple other criteria, I think. But that's what they picked, going to Texas. Because apparently in April in Texas, the skies are clear more often than they're not. Well, one of the SGU crew, Bob Novella, it's hosted by Steve Novella. Bob Novella is one of the rogues, along with Jay Novella. Yes, they're brothers. Then there's Evan Bernstein and Kara Santamaria. Now, Kara Santamaria is the only one that doesn't live in Connecticut. She's, I think, back in Los Angeles now. She was in Florida for a while, so I'm not sure exactly where she's living now. But she's going to join up with the crew in Texas. And I think she's from Texas. So anyway, Bob Novella has long said, I don't know if it's if it's an idiom for him or a maxim or something like that, but he's long said something to the effect that any celestial event that can be witnessed by him will be obscured by clouds. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. So he says it's his superpower, which is not a great superpower to have, which is to obstruct solar eclipses. And other celestial events. It's not just limited to that. But he's been saying, and yes, they're skeptics. They don't believe in jinxes or curses or anything like that. But sometimes you just think, what the hell? And why I'm saying that is because I was watching the weather, local news was showing the weather for the nation, showing some of it, in relation to the eclipse that's going to be happening this coming Monday. And pretty much, a really big chunk of the path of totality as it moves through the United States, at least in their forecasting, looks as though it's going to be cloudy and raining. A large chunk of it, including Texas. I have my old next door neighbor. She moved down to Texas, and she just said, "Yeah, it's going to be cloudy. You know, you can tell she's bummed. It's going to be cloudy. She's not going to. Now, maybe, you know, you could be a part in the clouds. Something could happen where you'll get a good, clear view of it. But it's not looking good at this point. Now, here in Minnesota, it's going to be cloudy and raining too, which is great because yesterday being Friday and today, at least this morning, I'm going to get to the ad for where I'm at, you know, Nostalgia Zone. I'm going to get to that in a bit. But here I am in the basement of Nostalgia Zone. And as I drove here this morning and again yesterday, all day yesterday, bright blue, clear skies. Maybe a cloud or two here and there, but otherwise just clear blue skies. Just perfect to view, at least from our angle, a partial solar eclipse. To get to see part of it. To be able to, if you have the glasses, or if you have the little pinhole cardboard thing that you hold it and you can look it through it that way, or if you stand under a tree and the light's coming through a tree, and the little gaps in the tree, if there's leaves in it, which there aren't too many leaves right now, but at the time of year, if you've got leaves and trees, you can look at all the eclipses cast on the ground. I think you can take a binocular and hold it, the big lens up, and have the other lens aiming at the ground or at a piece of paper in your hand or whatever. You'll be able to see it as well. I'm probably just going to watch it online while it happens, but I'm sure a customer's going to walk in just as we get going for the eclipse. I mean, I'm telling you, that would be a pain in the butt if that were to happen. I'd be like, hey, what are you doing coming in during the eclipse? But, you know, it's, yeah. So, I hope I'm wrong. I hope the weather people are wrong. I hope it's going to be clear skies down there in Texas for the SGU crew. But I'm telling you, it's going to be It's going to be interesting listening to the next week's show after the eclipse, because they're going to record one, and we're going to have one, and it's going to, and if they don't get to see it, Bob's going to be very upset. In fact, he'll be even more upset because the New England area of the country, that over there, the northeast part of the country, that path of totality over there, looks like they have a better chance of having clear skies to watch the eclipse. And they could have just gone from Connecticut up to upstate New York, or somewhere else along the path would be much closer than Texas. They could have just gone there. Oh, it's... Oh. I hope I'm wrong. Let's see. What time is it? Yeah, I think it's time for me to take my break. Well, no. I'm going to give it a moment here because I'm sure you know this is a skeptical show. And again, like I said, we don't believe in jinxes and curses and stuff like that. But boy, sometimes it sure does seem like... but no. It's just coincidence. It just happens. It's not... There's no plan. There's nothing going against you. And I can tell you this. Alex Jones is wrong. That Joe Biden isn't going to... He's going to turn out to be wrong. He's not going to use the eclipse to, I don't know, start off the New World Order. I guess Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist Grand Marshal, who is just playing a character on his InfoWars show. He's just playing a character. Remember how he testified under oath in his divorce case? That it's just a character. I'm not really that guy. But his listeners still believe him. Oh, he just had to say that under oath. He just had to lie under oath about himself so the government wouldn't kill him or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, that's what Alex Jones thinks, that somehow the eclipse will be used to launch the New World Order. The New World Order was going to be launched since what? Since biblical times? And we still haven't had it happen. Come on! Let's go. What's taking so damn long? So anyway, I mean, these conspiracy theorists, the they that they think about all the time, those they people either are really playing the long, 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 long game, or they're exceedingly incompetent in bringing about this New World Order thing. I lean toward the latter. Anyway, now I'll go take my first break. You're listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Jim Fitzsimmons, and I'll be back after this break.
I remember. Ready?
It's about deep, everything is swell.
Hey, this is Danny Potts from the Kentucky Ghost Chasers, and you're listening to Z-Talk Radio.
Don't just take my word for it, but you are listening to Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network.
Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be fatal. Don't use anything indoors that burns fuel, such as gasoline-powered generators, camp stoves and lanterns, or charcoal grills. Opening doors and windows or using fans isn't enough. Have your vents and chimneys checked to make sure water heater and gas furnace exhausts aren't blocked. If you feel sick, dizzy, or weak while using a generator, get to fresh air right away. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
If this station's not your cup of tea...
Then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
I thought you might say that.
Another way from another point. Yeah, but you don't like coffee.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Anyway, show's come back.
Is waiting for a message of some sort or another.
All And welcome back to Dimland Radio here in the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Okay, now I'm going to do something that that I saw on the internets. Talk about something there. It was a little project I put myself to, and I have it written down on these pieces of paper here. And if this wasn't real, would I be able to do this? That's my Letterman bit. Hee-hee, hee-hee, Sorry. Letterman taking over. I saw on the Facebook a collection of celebrity mugshots. 42 celebrities have mugshots. Somebody shared it. People were making comments on it. And it was the picture of the mugshot, all black and white. In this particular image, although not all the mugshots are black and white. It's just some of them are actually in color because I've seen the actual mugshots. But most of them are in black and white. Anyway, but in the meme, they're all black and white. And why am I getting stuck on that little bit of thing? Well, that's what happens to you every now and then when you're old pedantic. pedant. An old pedant. I call myself an old pedantic? Jesus. Anyway, I thought it would be interesting to figure out, at least for me, what was the reason for each of these mugshots? So I'm going to tell you what I found out. All right, here we go. This would be nice to have a bed of music to be playing along here, a little jaunty kind of thing, the way that George Harab does on his podcast, but I don't have one, so here we go. Okay, we start with Tim Allen, comedian, actor, guy. Drug trafficking is what his mugshot was, the reason for his mugshot. And I think we all knew that he had some issues with the law, and I think he did some time, back in his early days, but, he found comedy and was able to make a good career for himself, and he's part of a show called, what is it called, Last Man Standing, which we see it advertised, and my wife and I said, does anybody watch that? And it seems like it's been on for years. Anyway, next is Jane Fonda. Her mugshot, the mugshot we have in this one, because I think she might have more than one, this mugshot is because of drug smuggling. I think she's got a mugshot from much more recent, where she was doing some political protesting of what's going on today in our country. Anyway, but moving on. Then there's Ozzy Osbourne. His mugshot was due to public intoxication. Let's see. Then there's James Brown. Now, he has more than one mugshot. So for the one that I found, the one that's included in this little meme, which I'll put that up on the show notes page, which you can get to by going to dimland.com, click on the show notes /blog option, and you'll be able to see that image. I'll put it up there. So for that particular mugshot that's included for James Brown, it was for assault and failure to stop for police. Let's see. Next is David Bowie. His was possession of marijuana. A friend of mine out there is thinking it should have been for statutory rape, but let's not get into that. Well, there was a thing with a groupie, and really, neither party denied it happening. The groupie, when she became of age and much later on in life, she looks back on it as being this beautiful experience, but she was like 15 or something when David Bowie took advantage of her. Anyway, next is Paris Hilton. Hers was a DUI. Then there's Mick Jagger, drug possession, which I think was sort of one of those, they were getting too popular and the police needed to take them down a peg or something. That seems a little conspiratorial, but they were kind of after them, after the Stones, for some reason. So over there in the England land or Britain land. Anyway, then we have Snoop Dogg. His was for homicide. I guess he went to trial for it and was acquitted. So that's good. Then there's Anna Nicole Smith. Hers was a DUI. There's Christian Slater. His was weapon possession at JFK Airport. Apparently he had a gun in his luggage and it got found and you're not supposed to do that. Let's see. Al Pacino, attempted robbery. And that's a young Al Pacino. I think before his acting career took off. Then there's Zsa Zsa Gabor. She slapped a police officer. Remember that? The slap heard around the world. Let's see. Johnny Cash, Public Drunkenness. And then there's Buddy Hackett. I'm going to save that one for... I'll swing back to Buddy Hackett. But the Buddy Hackett one, when you see it, you'll see that he's... Well, his mugshot is really a mugshot. I'll get back to it. Let's see. After Buddy Hackett, there was Paul Newman. Paul Newman was arrested for drunk and disorderly behavior when he was in college. A bunch of his frat friends or buddies or whatever, if he was in frat, whatever, college buddies, got out of hand. And some fighting and stuff, and he got arrested. And he was quite young looking in that picture. Let's see. Nick Nolte. That was a DUI. You remember that picture. He's had better days. We'll say that. Prince. Let's see. Prince, his mugshot was because of theft. He had taken a bullhorn from somewhere to use as a stage prop. And he got busted for that. Lindsay Lohan. She has a few. And for the one that they show here in this collection of photos, it's for probation violation. So she's had things before. And we'll say one thing, and this has been sent by other people. Her mugshots. She's hot in her mugshots. She looks great. And there's one in particular. I don't know if it's the one that's in this collection, but there's one in particular where you think, wow. Yeah, I mean, she looks great. I mean, she looks great in her mugshots. She really does. She doesn't look pathetic. She doesn't look sad. She doesn't look like she's, like she's ashamed of what's going on. She might be a little bit under the influence. She probably has the big, wide pupils. I remember Penn Jillette talking about that Hollywood will sometimes they'll steal belladonna. That's the stuff that eye doctors put into your eyes to get your pupils to dilate real big, because the idea is big dilated pupils are sexy. That they look good. So Penn was telling the stories of how sometimes the people will try to get some belladonna from their eye doctors and they'll bring it to, put in the actor's eyes for close-up scenes and romantic scenes and stuff like that. So you fall in love with them because of those big pupils in their eyes. Apparently it's a thing. And I think in the Lindsay Lohan pictures of her mugshots, she's got that going, which might not because she put belladonna in her eyes, probably because there's something in her system. But maybe not. I could be wrong. Let's see. After Lindsay Lohan, there's Keanu Reeves. Well, that was a DUI. Then there's Robert Downey Jr., drugs and weapons possession. He had his troubles. We know that. This next one's kind of sad. It's Terrence Howard. For this particular mugshot, he's got more than one. It was for causing a disturbance on a plane, but he's had some he's had some stuff, and hopefully he's working on that. Steve McQueen. Has for DUI, and I guess this happened in Alaska. I think he was drunk or high or something, and he got busted for it. And he's looking pretty smug in the mugshot. And I guess he just took off after that. I'm just not going to go back to Alaska. What are they going to do? Extradite me? Woody Harrelson. His mugshot, and he's had a troubled past. His mugshot is for disturbing the peace. Apparently he was dancing in the street, or dancing on a highway or something. He was drunkenly dancing in the street. There's Michelle Rodriguez. Hers is for probation violation. And I think her mugshot looks pretty good, too. just saying. Then there's Frank Sinatra, a young Frank Sinatra. And get this, he was arrested and got the mugshot because of seduction and adultery. Seduction and adultery. He seduced somebody, apparently somebody who was married, or maybe he was married. And I don't know. Seduction and adultery. How quaint. Bill Gates. He was driving without a license. And he doesn't look too bothered by it. And he had a license, but he didn't have it on him, apparently. There's Randy Travis. DUI, and he threatened state troopers. He's had some rough times, and I'm not sure he's in the best of health these days. I don't know. Last I heard. Vince Vaughn. He's had more than one mugshot. For the one that we see there, it's for fighting in public. I guess fighting not in public would... right, maybe that's a, well, that's a different charge, I suppose. Tiger Woods, well, we know what was going on there. The Ambien thing, crashed his car, so it was a DUI. Heather Locklear, this is another sad one. For the picture that she has, and she's got more than one mugshot. For the picture she has, it's for DUI, but she sounds like she's had emotional problems, and that led to some of these things. So it's kind of sad. O.J. Simpson, well, for this one, it was for homicide. Just going to say less about that and just leave it and move on. Kurt Cobain of Nirvana, he got busted for vandalism. That's why he has the mugshot. Then there's Charlie Sheen. This was for assault and menacing. I think he's got more than one mugshot, too, but I'm not sure. Assault and menacing for him. Jim Morrison, this guy, for this mugshot, and he's got at least two before this one. For this one is for lewd and lascivious behavior, indecent exposure, public profanity, and public drunkenness. What a guy. Sounds like a fun time. Justin Bieber was a DUI. Khloe Kardashian, another DUI. Stone Cold Steve Austin, he had struck his wife. Not cool. Hopefully he's worked on that. Mickey Rourke. Before Mickey Rourke, there was Deion Sanders. He got a mugshot because he was trespassing. And if I'm not mistaken, he doesn't look too bothered by it, his mugshot either. He seems fairly pleased, I guess. Then there's Mickey Rourke for threatening police and resisting arrest. David Crosby for drug and gun possession. Dennis Hopper, he got his for reckless driving, failure to report an accident and leaving the scene of an accident. And finally, Bill Cosby for sexual assault. Now, I said I'd swing back to Buddy Hackett. Of the whole group of pictures, if you're looking at them, which you will do when you go to my, the show notes page. Remember, if you're not going to the show notes page, you're only getting like 0.5% of the show. It's all on the show notes page. Buddy Hackett's an old-time comedian from the 50s and 60s or something, 70s. He was in the movie It's a Mad, 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 Mad World? Is it four Mads? I'm not sure how many Mads it's. Anyway, he's in that movie. I think the picture looks like it's about that time period. He was a Las Vegas-type comedian, entertainer guy. He'd go on Johnny Carson's show a lot. And he had this, unique sense of humor, and he had this look to him. He would mug for the camera. He had this rubbery face that could do things. And his mugshot looks, he's mugging for his mugshot. He's got this look on his face, and everybody, the people who were seeing this on Facebook in the thread were pointing out the Buddy Hackett one. Well, Buddy Hackett wins. I mean, his mugshot is like he's defiant. He's having it's a lark. He's just goofing and all that. And it turns out, if my information is correct, it turns out that his mugshot is a goof. It's a lark. Apparently, I'm not sure if it's the same way in Las Vegas today, but at least at the time that this mugshot was taken, the reason that this happened was because in Las Vegas, if you work at a place that has gambling and serves alcohol, you have to, I guess, go to the sheriff's office or the police department, whichever it is in Las Vegas. You have to report there and sign or apply for a work permit to work in such a place in Las Vegas. Again, I don't know if that's the case today, but apparently it was when this mugshot of Buddy Hackett was taken. So Buddy Hackett, being Buddy Hackett, goes in to do his work permit thing and starts goofing around with the police there and or the sheriff's deputies or whatever it was. Starts goofing around with them, and then somebody had the idea of, let's do a mugshot. And so they do a mugshot of him, and he does that goof. He's not actually in trouble. He didn't do anything. There's no, he didn't go to court. He wasn't arrested. It wasn't anything. It was just a goof. So that was my little experiment on all these mugshots. 42 celebrities have mugshots. My laptop keeps going to sleep. Stop going to sleep. I need to pay attention to it. Keep it from going to sleep. I hope this doesn't affect the audio. So I'm looking at what time it is. What's my time for the next break? Oh, I made it to the next break. So you're listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network. Oh, hang on. I got to get the next break ready. There it is. There it is. Right there. Okay. You're listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. And I'm going to send you to break. You're going to rest. You're going to take a break. I'm going to take a break as well. And we're going to both come back renewed and refreshed. Right? Aren't we? Well, I'll be back.
Looking from a window above, it's like a story of love. Can you hear me? Came back only yesterday.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you think Bigfoot is real? Do you suspect that your neighbor is really Val Tor, leader of the lizard people of Bendar 3? Well, Dr. Dim doesn't, and he'll tell you why when you tune in to Dimland Radio Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern on Z-Talk Radio Network. It's an hour of science promotion, pop culture rants, personal observation, and of course, skepticism. Join Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern for Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio's Redheaded Stepchild. It's Dr. Dim on Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.
Get him some Z's. Getting some Z's. Getting some Z's. Wake up! Listen to Z-Talk Radio. On ztalkradio.com.
Well, first you gotta want to get off bad enough to want to get on him in the first place.
And welcome to Dimland Radio. Welcome back, I should say, to Dimland Radio. Are you refreshed from your break? I kind of am. I don't that lyric that was in that song coming out of break there, with Johnny Cash, a song called Bull Rider. First you got to want to get off him enough to want to get on in the first place. What? First you want to get off bad enough to want to get on in the first place? If you want to get off bad enough, then why would you want to get on? I don't know. I guess it's a saying or something. What are you going to do? Okay. Yeah. And speaking of song lyrics, I've got one of these.
And now, it's time for a Dimland Radio pedantic moment.
Yeah, this ought to be good.
Well, it might be good. It might also be familiar, because I think I might have done this one before, over the years that I've done this show. Maybe I'll bring a little something new to it this time, if I have done it before. I think I have, but I like it, so I'm going to do it again, and it's my show, and this is what we do on my show. My pedantic moment, again, it's talking about song lyrics, has to do with a song by the Monkees. Remember that band that came out in the 1960s? It was put together to be for a TV show, to be sort of the answer for the Beatles or something, I guess, or to pick up on the whole Beatlemania. Let's see if we can create that with a TV show that follows the lives of a up-and-coming pop band. Let's do that, and then we'll have zaniness and all that kind of stuff. and we'll get these guys together. They can have musical experience and all that. Sure, that would be helpful. And if they can sing, that's good. That's good. And then we'll put them together and we'll do this show. And what do you know? They came up with this band called The Monkees, and they became a band anyway. Now, they got a lot of shit for not writing their own stuff or playing all their own instruments. But there was something that one of them had pointed out, said, okay, you know, who played all the music on, you know, the Mamas and the Papas records? Well, it was the Wrecking Crew, I think. You know, who plays, you know, the xylophone on that song done by the Beatles or something, if there's a xylophone song by the Beatles? Who plays that? I mean, you know, who really, the Beatles played all the instruments in that Day in the Life with the orchestra that comes in? Of course not. But there is a point about the prefabness of the Monkees. There's a point. But they became a band, and they wanted to do their stuff, and Mike Nesmith, the guy that wore the wool hat, he wrote a lot of songs for the band. Mickey Dolenz wrote some songs for the band. I think Peter Tork wrote at least one song for the band, but he might have had other credits. But yeah, they got songwriters from the world of songwriting that came in and wrote things. Well, there's one song, and it's off their album Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones Limited from 1967. And oh yes, I have a dream. I have a dream that one day young people will be asked by old people what their sign is, meaning astrology, zodiac, and all that stuff. And those young people will have no idea what are you talking about? My sign? What are you talking about? And they'll say, your zodiac sign, you know, what sign are you? And my dream is that those young people will have no idea what they're talking about. I don't think that dream will ever come true. Astrology's been with us for thousands of years. It's still going to be with us. It's bullshit. Total bullshit. No science behind it at all. There's nothing to it. 1/12 of the world's population does not have the same personality. Does not have the same things happen to them on the same day. It's just, it's bullshit. The position of planets have no effect on you whatsoever. Unless it's, you know, mentally. And then that's something you're doing to yourself. Unless you can't help it. Okay. Anyway, it's just, it's bullshit. Okay. But it's just the name of their album. So it's 1967, and there's a song on that album that Mike Nesmith sings. He didn't write it. There was some other writers, and I didn't bother writing down their names. I think it was 2 or 3 people wrote that song. And the song is called What Am I Doing Hanging Around? And it's the song's about a loudmouth Yankee who went down to Mexico for about a week or so, where he met a Mexican woman who fell in love with him, who loved him so. They rhymed so with so, you know, which is fine. It's still a great song. I just really like the song. I don't, you know. So they rhymed so with so, with the same word. Lyrically, there's something in that song, you know, like the first bit of verses, the first bit of verse says, you know, loudmouth Yankee went down to Mexico where he lightly took advantage of a girl who loved him so. And, you know, while he's taking advantage of her, he's still thinking to himself, I got to get on the train and head back to Texas, head back to San Antonio. So I got to go back to San Antonio. Kept thinking that. And then it goes into the chorus, was, what am I doing hanging around? I should be on that train and gone. I should be on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around? All right, then we go into the second verse. The second verse now is, it's a little more serious. In the first verse, he was lightly taking advantage of her. It's a lark, I'm on vacation, I'm just going to just have some fun and, you know, nothing serious. But then the second verse, there's a suggestion, I think, that now he's starting to catch the love bug for this woman. Now it's not, I'm just lightly taking advantage of her. Now he's starting to feel it too, because, you know, he didn't know much Spanish. They didn't have time to talk because they were making out so much. And he says, you know, she told me that she loved me, not with words, but with a kiss. But still, he kept on thinking of a train he could not miss. And then it goes back into the chorus. What am I doing hanging around? I should be on that train and gone. I should be on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around? All right, that's okay, we go back. So we go to the third verse. Now this time, the third verse is a year or so later. He's in Texas. He's back in San Antonio, the place he couldn't, he said, he kept thinking about getting back to. Well, he's back there now. And now what is he doing? He keeps pining for that young woman in Mexico, and he wants to go back. And he thinks he's missed his chance for love. This was my chance. I blew it. You know, if I get the money to be able to afford to go back down there to Mexico, I'm heading down there. You know, and he's gonna ride that same old train, and he's gonna get down there, right? And then it goes into the chorus again, and the chorus is, "What am I doing hanging around? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to San Antonio. What am I doing hanging around?" And then they repeat it a couple of times, and it fades out, and the song's over. Now, to me, I'm not a songwriter. If you're a songwriter and you have a reason why my suggestion might not work, let me know. Send me an email. Email me at drdim@dimland.com. D-R-D-I-M at dimland.com. Send me an email with your idea of why maybe I'm wrong or maybe I'm right in this. That I think literally, that the verses, the lyrics of the song, and the verses of the song do a turnaround. The first two verses are about how he's with this woman, he's interested in her, and you know, he's taking advantage of her, and then it's getting more serious. But the first two sets of verses are saying that I got to get back to Texas. I got to get back to Texas. But then it does a turnaround for the third verse, where he's in Texas, he's in San Antonio, the place that he had to get back to. He's there. And he keeps thinking that, what am I doing here? I need to get back to Mexico. I need to get to her because I think I missed my chance for true love in my life, and I got to get back to Mexico. So I thought, well, why doesn't the chorus do the same turnaround? San and tone is three syllables. San and tone is three syllables. Mexico, three syllables. Why isn't it, what am I doing hanging around? I should be on that train and gone. I should be riding on that train to Mexico. What am I doing hanging around? And then fade out and then repeat that. Fade it out. It's turn it around. I got to go back to Mexico. I think that seems to work. I seems like it fits the theme. He's gone from being preoccupied while falling in love, being preoccupied with getting back to Texas. And now that he's back in Texas, he's in love. He should be preoccupied with getting back to Mexico. What do you think? I think it should be that way. And it could work. I think it could work. Maybe somebody out there who knows about songwriting will say, nah, it doesn't work because, you know, it doesn't work. Maybe, I don't know why. But it seems to me, the lyrics would scan just as well, like the same amount of syllables. He could still stress the same ones that he does with San Antone. He could still lengthen it out like he does at the end of the song. And, you know, Mexico, instead of saying San Antone, you know, he could do that. But they chose not to. I don't know. I could be wrong. So let me know what you think about it. Send me an email. Let me know. Doesn't bother me. It's not like I'm worked up about it. But I know I revisited this pedantic moment. I know I'm sure I've had it before, but it's been a few years. You know, it's quite possible I'm going to end this show early because I just have one more thing I want to talk about. But before I get to that, ooh, maybe this will pad it out. This show, of course, is coming from the basement of Nostalgia Zone. What is Nostalgia Zone? Nostalgia Zone is a comic book store that's located in Minneapolis. And we just sell back issues. We don't get the new comic books when they come out each week on Wednesday. We just sell back issues. And I've been kind of pushing the bosses to have more in-store hours, but there's only so much we can do. I can't do any more than what I do as it is. But, you know, maybe. We'll see. But anyway, if you're interested, but we have online stuff. You can go to our catalog online. There's old comic books on there. There's old magazines on there. It goes back to the golden age of comic books and such. We've got that, but we've got, you know, superhero comic books, cowboy comic books, army man comic books, girly girl comic books. We've got all kinds of stuff out there. We got magazines like National Lampoon and Mad Magazine and famous monsters from Filmland. We've got stuff like that out there too. So if you are a collector of comic books and old magazines and you're looking to fill holes in your collection, or you're looking for that treasure that you didn't think that you needed, check out NostalgiaZone.com. That's our website address. Become a member of our membership and you'll save 10% on your purchases, and you will earn points which turn into savings down the road. You can either use them the very next time you buy something, or you can let them accrue so you can get a big amount of savings on a big purchase if you want. So check out NostalgiaZone.com and buy some old comic books if that's what you're into. Or old magazines if that's what you're into. And if you're in the Twin Cities, say on a Saturday, because that's when I work, we open at noon, we're open till 6. Come on down and say, hey, Dr. Dim sent me, and I'll look at you and I'll say, I sent you? And you say, yeah, I was listening to your show and I came in. That would freak me out, but it would be cool. So anyway, NostalgiaZone.com, become a member, buy some old comic books. There, I got the ad in. Okay, my one last thing for the show. This is a great TV commercial. I mean, this is great. But before I get to that, I mentioned this on Facebook, and as long as I'm talking about television, remember when we made the switch from analog TV, antenna TV, to digital antenna TV? Remember when we made that switch a few years ago? You know, a better signal, better picture, better sound quality, and all that kind of stuff. And that's right, you can do a high-definition image, whereas the analog stuff was doing the standard definition. And if you look at the standard definition now, it looks, you know, it looks soft and blurry. That's like the old TV shows and such, that when you watched those back in the day, it was standard analog antenna. And the picture wouldn't be super sharp and super detailed, so that, you know, friends of mine and I, we were not that long ago watching old episodes of The $6 Million Man. And there was we were watching the Bigfoot ones, and Steve Austin is chasing after Bigfoot through the wilderness, and it's kind of in a, I don't know, maybe spring, but there's a little bit of snow around. You can see little patches of snow on the ground. Now, in the old days, when you watched that show when it was new, and you watched it on an old-time TV, standard definition for the view of the image, those little patches of snow look like patches of snow. But when you watch it on high definition, where you've got a nice clean picture and a better picture of that, better look at that snow, it looks like it's fabric. It's some kind of white, cottony fabric that they put down on the ground in order to, you know, stimulate little patches of snow. You know, it becomes more clear, and that's part of what goes on with this digital antenna stuff. But here's another thing that's I noticed with the digital antenna. When there's interference, it's interference all the way. And see, in the old days, with the old antennas, the analog ones, if there would be some interference, usually what would happen is that the picture would get wonky. It might start to double image or get all zigzaggy or something. It would get like that. But the audio would not be affected in most cases, most of the time. So if it was a really bad signal drop or interference, then maybe you'd get some audio droppage. But usually, you know, you're watching two people on a show are having a conversation, and there's some storm going on or something, and the antenna is being interfered with. So you get, you know, Zorchi-looking image, but you can still hear the conversation. You don't lose that. So as annoying as it is to lose the image, you're still being able to follow along with what's happening because you can hear it. With the digital signal, nope. That signal starts to go out, you'll get mosaic-looking image. And sometimes it gets really bad, but the audio drops. You get no audio. So you might have a fairly interfered with image, but no audio. And it's in those instances that I realized that how important audio is to something you're watching. And it's so much more annoying to lose the audio. As annoying as it was before in the old days, It's so much more annoying when that happens. And if you have a storm or windy, you know, windy conditions, it's raining, sometimes the digital signal can be interfered with. Somebody had mentioned that if you live in a brick building, forget it. Yeah, when I brought this up on Facebook. So, anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. There's this ad. And I did find it. I think it's on YouTube, and I'll put it in the show notes. Remember, go to dimland.com, click on the show notes slash blog option, and you'll get to them. And it's an ad that I hadn't seen it before. And it starts up. It's got a guy, and he's jogging on the beach. And it's about, there's some voiceover going on, which I don't remember exactly, but there's something about, you know, the guy's boys, right? And then we see, first we just see the guy from like his midsection up, you know, just, you know, something like that. And then we get a full shot of him, and he's got two boys with him, which are sort of mini versions of him. And they're both, they're running side by side, the two boys, directly in front of the main guy, right? And their heads are about waist high. At the top of their heads is about waist high on the guy. So he's jogging in one scene on a beach, and then, or he's walking on a beach in the one scene, and then the next he's jogging on some park path. Then he's in a hot tub with them, and then he's a groomsman that's in a wedding. And each time, these same two boys are standing directly in front of him, and they're side by side, and they're being noticed. There's another, in the jogging scene, there's another fellow jogging, and he too has two mini-me's of himself running in front of him, side by side, same height. But these two boys have shaved heads. And in the wedding party, you see a bunch of guys, men, groomsmen, standing there, each with two boys standing in front of them, each about the same height. They're mini-me's of the guys. And some of them have shortly cropped hair, and others have, you know, well-groomed hair. But the main guy that we see throughout, excuse me, his two boys have wild, shaggy hair and wild, unkempt, shaggy beards. And the boys are all just happy as can be. Those two boys, they're just happy. They just seem like they're just having a great time. And these two shaggy boys sitting there, and in the each time somebody else is brought into the mix, either that other guy jogging with his boys in front of him, or in the wedding party, there's the women of the maids of honor, or the bride's women, or whatever they call them. They look over. They're looking over at the two shaggy boys, and looking a little off put. And I was watching this ad, first time I'd ever seen it, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm thinking, what in the hell is this? What? What is this about? And then I saw, up in the upper right hand corner, there was the name of the product that was being advertised. And it's something called Manscaped. If you're unaware what manscaping is, that's a bit of grooming down there. Yeah. Not the grooming of the hair on the top of your head and your beard or mustache, or maybe just you have a clean shaven face. Not that grooming. Not that area. It's the grooming of the area down there. And the boys, the two boys, are, you know, the two things that most men who are born with penises and testicles, and have penises and testicles, it's the testicles, it's the nuts that are, it's that area that's not groomed really well. It's just left to be all natural. You know, back in the 70s, hairy men were apparently sexy. The really hairy chest and all that kind of stuff. I guess that was really sexy at that point. People, you know, I guess. Well, this dude is just, you know, he's all natural as far as how his grooming is going. And that's what they're showing you in the ad. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. I laughed once I realized what they were doing. I laughed so hard. It's so clever. It's just done so well to get the point across that, hey, dudes, the, you know, people who might, who you might be involved with, male or female, you know, I'm not, might appreciate a little less, forest. might appreciate a little bit less down there. And here's a product. It's a little shaver kind of thing that you can use to take care of the boys. Oh, what a good ad. Now, the pedant in me will say that, if you wanted to be a little more accurate, one of the boys, the two boys, they shouldn't have been the same height. One should have been a little bit shorter than the other boy, like a head shorter. Because you may not be aware of this, but unless you have yourself a set of testicles, one hangs lower than the other. It's sort of designed that way. Not really. I mean, it's just what nature ended up having. Because if they're right next to each other, it makes sitting down and crossing your legs a little... You get more of a chance of crushing the boys. Yeah. Well, it's what could happen.
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Okay, I've got to the end of another show. Ended a little on the icky part, but what the hell. Be skeptical. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Remember Dr. Dim's adage or whatever. The answer is never magic. You've been listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. And I am your host, Jim Dr. Dim, reminding you to sleep with the lights off.
You can check out my show notes at dimland.com. Just click on the blog option. And you can email your questions and comments to drdim@dimland.com. That's drdim@dimland.com. And the opening theme song, Ram, is by Theolius and is used with permission.
Has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Well, I'm going to hell.